You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word. This is the 362nd Word for Word show. That's not counting the reruns. That's just the new shows that I've done over a period of time. And we're in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. With today's show, we'll only have four shows to do before we're finished with Jasher. And then I'll go into some other stuff. We'll be in the midst of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because we've got Passover coming up, and then Feast of Unleavened Bread next week. So I'll be gone. I'll be down there with the Israelites at the feast, fellowshipping and observing Yahweh's commandments.
and a good time will be had by all. Pardon me. I want to give you my website before I go too far. It's HTTPS, as in sugar, /// www.pastor-steve.com. And all my shows are there, Wake Up Call, Word for Word, a lot of two seed line links, how to buy my Torah translations. I'm working real hard on the book of the prophets. That's going to be the next that will be completed. It will not be done by Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. It'll be done sometime this summer, but it'll be ready for publication before Feast of Tabernacles next fall. I cannot rush it. I have to be meticulous in my work. The scripture itself deserves that, and the people that would get it would deserve that as well. Let's get into chapter 80 here of the book of Jasher. Moses is in Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, and having trouble with Pharaoh, this new Pharaoh. And he threatened him with plagues in the last chapter, chapter 79. So here we go in chapter 80, verse 1. And at the end of 2 years, Yahweh again sent Moshe to Pharaoh to bring forth the children of Israel and to send them out of the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 2, and Moshe went and came to the house of Pharaoh, and he spoke to him the words of Yahweh, who had sent him, but Pharaoh would not hearken to the voice of Yahweh, and Elohim roused his might in Mitzrayim upon Pharaoh and his subjects. And Yah smote Pharaoh and his people with very great and sore plagues. Here is verse 3. And you can reference Exodus chapter 7, verse 20. And Yahweh sent by the hand of Aharon and turned all the waters of Mitzrayim into blood with all their streams and rivers. Now, that was a very dry land, and if they couldn't get drinking water, that was bad news. So, here we go, verse 4. And when a Mitzri, that's an Egyptian, came to drink and draw water, he looked into his pitcher, and behold, all the water was turned into blood. And when he came to drink from his cup, the water in the cup became blood. Verse 5. And when a woman kneaded her dough and cooked her victuals, their appearance was turned to that of blood. So they couldn't eat or drink. I mean, they just, whoa, it was bad. They were oppressing Israel and beating up on them and starving them and killing them and doing all that stuff, just like they're doing today. Verse 6, and you can reference Exodus, chapter 8, verse 5. And Yahweh sent again and caused all their waters to bring forth frogs. And all the frogs came into the houses of the Mitzrayim. Verse 7, and when the Mitzrayim drank, their bellies were filled with frogs, and they danced in their bellies as they danced in the went in the river. And all their drinking water and cooking water turned to frogs. Also, when they lay in their beds, their perspiration bred frogs. Verse 9, Notwithstanding all this, the anger of Yahweh did not turn from them, and his hand was stretched out against all of Mitzrayim to smite them with every heavy plague. Verse 10, you can reference Exodus chapter 8, verse 16. And he sent and smote their dust to lice, and the lice became in Mitzrayim to the height of 2 cubits upon the earth. Verse 11, the lice were also very numerous in the flesh of man and beast in all the inhabitants of Mitzrayim. Also upon the king and queen, Yahweh sent the lice, and it grieved Mitzrayim exceedingly on account of the lice. Now, we're talking about the hand of Yahweh here. We're not talking about the hand of man, okay? Verse 12. Notwithstanding this, the anger of Yahweh did not turn away, and his hand was still stretched out over Mitzrayim. Verse 13. And Yahweh sent all kinds of beasts of the field into Mitzrayim, and they came and destroyed all Mitzrayim, man and beast and trees, and all things that were in Mitzrayim. Beast of the field can mean two-legged and four-legged. Verse 14. And Yahweh sent fiery serpents, scorpions, mice, weasels, toads, together with others creeping in dust. Verse 15. Flies, hornets, fleas, bugs, and gnats, each swarm according to its kind. Verse 16, and all reptiles and winged animals according to their kind came to Mitzrayim and grieved the Mitzrayim exceedingly. Verse 17, and the fleas and flies came into the eyes and ears of all of Mitzrayim. Verse 18, and the hornet came upon them and drove them away. And they removed from it into their inner rooms, and it pursued them. Now, stop right here. You ever seen a hornet? I'm not talking about a sweat bee. A little ground hornets. I'm talking about a hornet. Those things are big, with a great big long stinger. And when they hit you, it feels like you've been shot by a pistol. That's how painful it is. It's terrible. Right, verse 19. And when the Mitzrayim hid themselves on account of the swarm of animals, they locked their doors after them. And Yah ordered the Sulanuth, which was in the sea, to come up and go into Mitzrayim. Don't know what that is. Okay? I've looked for it. I can't find it. Verse 20, here it describes this beast. And she had long arms, 10 cubits in length of the cubit of a man. And she went upon the roofs and uncovered the raftering and flooring and cut them and stretched forth her arm into the house and removed the lock and bolt and opened the houses of Mitzrayim. See, this isn't in the King James. Doesn't have this in Exodus, okay? Verse 22. Afterward came the swarm of animals into the houses of Mitzrayim, and the swarm of animals destroyed the Mitzrayim, and it grieved them exceedingly. Verse 23. Notwithstanding this, the anger of Yahweh did not turn away from the Mitzrayim, and his hand was yet stretched forth against them. Verse 24. This is sort of an accelerated version of what's in Exodus. Verse 25. And Yah set the pestilence, and the pestilence pervaded Egypt, you know, Mitzrayim, in the horses and asses and in the camels, in herds of oxen and sheep and in man. Verse 25. And when the Mitzrayim rose up early in the morning to take their cattle to pasture, they found all their cattle dead. You can reference Exodus chapter 9, verse 6. Verse 26. And it remained of the cattle of, that's the livestock of, the Mitzrayim, only 1 in 10. And all the cattle belonging to Israel in Goshen, not one died. And of the cattle, rather. Verse 27. That was a message. And believe me, I believe they got it. verse 27, you can reference Exodus chapter 9, verse 10. And Yah set a burning inflammation in the flesh of the Mitzrayim, which burst their skin, and it became a severe itch in all the Mitzrayim, from the soles of their feet to the crowns of their heads. Verse 28. And many boils were in their flesh, and their flesh wasted away until they became rotten and putrid. Verse 29. Notwithstanding this, the anger of Yahweh did not turn away, and his hand was still stretched out over all Mitzrayim. Now, verse 30, you can reference Exodus 9, verse 23. And Yahweh sent a very heavy hail, which smote their vines and broke their fruit trees and dried them up that they fell upon them. Verse 31. Also every green herb became dry and perished, for a mingling fire descended amidst the hail. Therefore the hail and the fire consumed all things. Verse 32. Also, men and beasts that were found abroad perished of the flames of fire and of the hail, and all the young lions were exhausted. Verse 33, you can reference Exodus chapter 10, verse 15. And Yahweh sent and brought numerous locusts into Egypt. Mitzrayim. The Kassel, Salom, Kargol, and Kagole locust, each of its kind, which devoured all that the hail had left remaining. Verse 34. Then... Let me get a drink of coffee. This is good here. All right, verse 34. Then the Mitzrayim rejoiced at the locusts, although they consumed the produce of the field, and they caught them in abundance and salted them for food. So they were forced to eat locusts. Verse 35. And Yahweh turned a mighty wind of the sea, which took away all the locusts, even those that were salted, and thrust them into the sea of reeds. Not one locust remained within the boundaries of Mitzrayim. So they thought they were going to get a blessing? No. Verse 36. And Yah sent darkness upon Mitzrayim, that the whole of Mitzrayim and Pathros became dark for 3 days, so that a man could not see his hand when he lifted it to his mouth. And you can reference Exodus 10, verse 22. on that. Verse 37. At that time died many of the people of Israel who had rebelled against Yahweh and who would not hearken to Moshe and Aharon and believe not in them that Yah had sent them. Now remember, there was a bunch that wanted to go on their own without being told. They wanted to leave. So here it mentions them again. And who had said, verse 38, we will not go forth from Mitzrayim, lest we perish with hunger in a desolate wilderness. And who would not listen to the voice of Moshe? Well, only Moshe was the one that was going to take them out, and they wouldn't listen to him. Verse 39. And Yahweh plagued them in the 3 days of darkness, and the Israelites buried them in those days without the Mitzrayim knowing of them or rejoicing over them. Because the Mitzrayim were having their own problems. Okay? Verse 40. And the darkness was very great in Mitzrayim for 3 days, and any person who was standing when the darkness came remained standing in his place, and he that was sitting remained sitting, and he that was lying continued lying in the same state, and he that was walking remained sitting upon the ground in the same spot. And this thing happened to all the Mitzrayim until the darkness had passed away. I mean, he was hitting them every which way but loose. There's a lot more stuff in here than there is in your standard Bible. Now, some of it's embellished a little bit, but that's the style of writing. Verse 41. And the days of darkness passed away, and Yahweh sent Moshe and Aharon to the children of Israel, saying, listen to this, celebrate your feast and make your Passover. That's what's coming up here next week, okay? For behold, I come in the midst of the night amongst all the Mitzrayim, and I will smite all their firstborn, from the firstborn of a man to the firstborn of a beast. And when I see your Passover, I will pass over you. And you can reference Exodus 11. Verse 5. Firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Well, that can mean two-legged and four-legged. Verse 42. And the children of Israel did according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moshe and Aharon. Thus they did in that night. And it came to pass in the middle of the night that Yahweh went forth in the midst of Mitzrayim and smote all the firstborn of the Mitzrayim, from the firstborn of man to the firstborn of beast. And you can reference Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. Verse 44. Get a little hit of coffee here. Oh, yes. Verse 44. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Mitzrayim, and there was a great cry throughout Mitzrayim in that night. For there was not a house in which there was not a corpse. Now listen to this. Verse 45, this is something that you're not going to hear in the King James. Also the likeness of the firstborn of Mitzrayim, which were carved in the walls of their houses, were destroyed and fell to the ground. So if they had carved a likeness of their firstborn son, it just fell off the wall. Verse 46, listen to this. Even the bones of their firstborn who have died before this and whom they had buried in their houses, in other words, they had crypts, were raked up by the dogs of Mitzrayim on that night and dragged before the Mitzrayim and cast before them. They drug the corpses out of the graves. Verse 47. And all of Mitzrayim saw this evil which had suddenly come upon them, and all of Mitzrayim cried out with a loud voice. Well, they were the ones that were profiting, and was, oh, we need to do away with these Israelites. Okay. Verse 48. And all the families of Mitzrayim wept upon that night, each man for his son and each man for his daughter, being the firstborn. And the tumult of Mitzrayim was heard at a distance on that night. Verse 49, and Batia, the daughter of Pharaoh, now that's the former Pharaoh, okay? Not the one that's Pharaoh now, okay? Went forth with the king on that night to seek Moshe and Aharon in their houses. And they found them in their houses, eating and drinking and rejoicing with all Israel. Verse 50. And Batia said to Moshe, is this the reward for the good which I have done to you, who has reared you and stretched you out, and you have brought this evil upon me and my father's house? Verse 51. And Moshe said to her, surely 10 plagues did Yahweh bring upon Mitzrayim. Did any evil accrue to thee from any of them? Did one of them affect thee? Okay. And she said, no. All right, she was exempt because she was good. Let's stop right here. There's going to be a great destruction of the evil people when Yahshua comes back. And those, even those that are not of Israel, if they have not tried to harm Israel, they won't be harmed. Okay, that they'll be saved. Now, that doesn't mean redeemed. That means saved from destruction. That's all it means. Doesn't mean they're going to become Israelites and they can enter the congregation and all that. No. They will live out their lives in peace and live and die just like they are. They're not going to get eternal life. They're not going to enter the kingdom. They're not going to go into New Jerusalem. They will be outside as servants. Verse 52, there we go. And Moshe said to her, although you are the firstborn to your mother, you shall not die, and no evil shall reach you in the midst of Mitzrayim. Verse 53. verse 53. And she said, what advantage is it to me when I see the king, my brother, and all his household and subjects in this evil, whose firstborn perish with all the firstborn of Mitzrayim? Verse 54, and Moshe said to her, surely your brother and his household and subjects, the families of Mitzrayim, would not hearken to the words of Yahweh. Therefore did this evil come upon them. Now, evil in Hebrew can also mean harm. It's a dual meaning. It can be, it's ra. It can mean harm. All this harm come upon them. So there's dual meanings. Verse 55. And Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, approached Moshe and Aharon and some of the children of Israel who were with them in that place, and he prayed to them, saying, verse 56. Here we go. Rise up and take your brethren, all the children of Israel who are in the land with their sheep and their oxen and all belonging to them. They shall leave nothing remaining. Only pray for me to Yahweh your God. Okay. And Moshe said to Pharaoh, behold, though you are your mother's firstborn, yet fear not, for you will not die. For Yahweh has commanded that you shall live in order to show you his great might and strong stretched out arm. All right, now why was that? Othri was the physical firstborn, but he was an idiot. He was defective. And Adikam assumed the birthright with the crown. Okay? It's like the scepter belongs to the tribe of Yehuda. But Yosef got the birthright. That's the way that worked out. Because all the rest of the sons of Israel were disqualified. Verse 58. And Pharaoh ordered the children of Israel to be sent away, and all the Mitzrayim strengthened themselves to send them, for they said, we are all perishing. Well, they were. Verse 59. And all the Mitzrayim sent the Israelites forth with great riches, sheep and oxen and precious things, according to the oath of Yahweh between him and our forefather Abraham. Verse 60. And the children of Israel delayed going forth at night. Okay. And when the Mitzrayim came to them to bring them out, they said to them, are we thieves that we should go forth at night? We're not going to scurry away in the dark. Okay. Verse 61. And the children of Israel asked of the Mitzrayim vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments, and the children of Israel stripped the Egyptians. Now I think it has plundered in the King James, but it's stripped here. You can reference Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. Verse 62, and Moshe hastened and rose up and went to the river of Mitzrayim. Now remember this. And brought up from there the coffin of Yosef. They knew where he was buried, and they got his corpse and the coffin. They had built a special coffin for that. Verse 63, the children of Israel brought up each man his father's coffin with him, and each man the coffins of his tribes. They didn't leave any of Israel in Mitzrayim. They even took the dead bodies. So that ends chapter 80. That's really something. Well, it'll be a stretch. I'm gonna get into chapter 81 because we're just a little bit after half past. This is verse 1 of chapter 81. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ra'amzes to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, besides the little ones and their wives. Here we go. Also, a mixed multitude went up with them. Race mixed. And flocks and herds, even much cattle. And this mixed multitude is going to cause problems later. Verse 3, and the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim in hard labor was 210 years. Verse 4. And at the end of 210 years, Yahweh brought forth the children of Israel from Mitzrayim with a strong hand. They walked out proudly and armed. They were no longer slaves to those people. Verse 5. And the children of Israel traveled from Mitzrayim and from Goshen and from Ra'amzes and encamped in Sukkot on the 15th day of the first month. Verse 6. And the Mitzrayim buried all their firstborn whom Yahweh had smitten, and all the Mitzrayim buried their slain for 3 days. Verse 7. And the children of Israel traveled from Sukkot and encamped in Etham at the end of the wilderness. That means the end of the desert area. Verse 8. And on the third day after the Mitzrayim had buried their firstborn, many men rose up from Mitzrayim and went after Israel to make them return to Mitzrayim, for they repented that they had sent the Israelites away from their servitude. Verse 9. And one man said to his neighbor, surely Moshe and Aharon spoke to Pharaoh, saying, we will go a 3 days journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh, our Elohim. Well, they did say that. That was the first request. But things had changed. They were gone now. They were leaving. Verse 10, now therefore let us rise up early in the morning and cause them to return. And it shall be that if they return with us to Mitzrayim to their masters, then shall we know that there is faith in them. But if they will not return, then we will fight with them and make them come back with a great power and a strong hand. Okay. Verse 11. And all the nobles of Parao rose up in the morning, and with them about 700,000 men, and they went forth from Mitzrayim on that day and came to the place where the children of Israel were. Verse 12. And all the Mitzrayim saw and beheld Moshe and Aharon and all the children of Israel were sitting before Pi-Hahiroth, that's a town, eating and drinking and celebrating the feast of Yahweh. That was Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 13, and all the Mitzrayim said to the children of Israel, surely you said, we will go a journey for 3 days in the wilderness and sacrifice to our Elohim and return. Verse 14, now therefore this day makes 5 days since you went. Why do you not return to your masters? Verse 15, and Moshe and Aharon answered them, saying, because Yahweh, our Elohim, has testified to in us, saying, you shall no more return to Mitzrayim, but we will betake ourselves to a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yahweh our Elohim has sworn to our forefathers to give to us. Verse 16. And when the nobles of Mitzrayim saw that the children of Israel did not hearken to them to return to Mitzrayim, they girded themselves to fight with Israel. Verse 17, and Yahweh strengthened the hearts of the children of Israel over the Mitzrayim, that they gave them a severe beating. And the battle was sore upon the Mitzrayim, and all the Mitzrayim fled from before the children of Israel, for many of them perished by the hand of Israel. Verse 18, and the nobles of Parao went to Mitzrayim and told Parao, saying, the children of Israel have fled and will no more return to Mitzrayim. And in this manner did Moshe and Aharon speak to us. Now this is verse 19. You can reference Exodus 14, verse 5. And Parao heard this thing in his heart, and the hearts of all his subjects were turned against Israel. And they repented that they had sent Israel, and all the Mitzrayim advised Parao to pursue the children of Israel to make them come back to their burdens. They had a short memory, I'll tell you. Verse 20. And they said each man to his brother, what is this which we have done, that we have sent Israel from our servitude? Oh, they didn't want to get rid of their slaves. Verse 21. And Yahweh strengthened the hearts of all the Mitzrayim to pursue the Israelites, for Yahweh desired to overthrow the Mitzrayim in the Sea of Reeds. Now they have Red Sea here, but it's not Red Sea. See, they've anglicized this when they translated it. It's the Sea of Reeds. It has nothing to do with red, okay? Verse 22, and Parao rose up and harnessed his chariot, and he ordered all the Mitzrayim to assemble. Not one man was left except the little ones and the women. Verse 23, and all the Mitzrayim went forth with Parao to pursue the children of Israel, and the camp of Mitzrayim was an exceedingly large and heavy camp, about 10,000 Man, that's what it says here. That's a million men. Verse 24. And the whole of this camp went and pursued the children of Israel to bring them back to Mitzrayim. And they reached them encamping by the Sea of Reeds. You can reference Exodus 14, verse 9 on that. Verse 25, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld all the Mitzrayim pursuing them. And the children of Israel were greatly terrified at them, and the children of Israel cried to Yahweh. A little hit of coffee while it's still warm. Verse 26. And on account of the Mitzrayim, the children of Israel divided themselves into four divisions. And they were divided in their opinions, for they were afraid of the Mitzrayim, and Moshe spoke to each of them. The first division was of the children of Reuben, Shimeon, and Issachar. And they resolved to cast themselves into the sea, for they were exceedingly afraid of the Mitzrayim. Verse 28. And Moshe said to them, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will effect this day for you. Verse 29. The second division was of the children of Zebulun, Binyamin, and Naphtali, and they resolved to go back to Mitzrayim with the Egyptians. Mitzrayim. And Moshe said to them, fear not, for as you have seen the Mitzrayim this day, so shall you see them no more forever. Verse 31. The third division was of the children of Yehuda and Yosef, and they resolved to go meet the Mitzrayim to fight with them. Verse 32. That's Judah. Yeah, go Judah. And Moshe said to them, stand in your places, for Yahweh will fight for you, and you shall remain silent. In other words, stand there and shut up. Verse 33. And the fourth division was of the children of Lewi, Gad, and Asher. And they resolved to go into the midst of the Mitzrayim to confound them. And Moshe said to them, remain in your stations and fear not. Only call unto Yahweh that he may save you from their hands. Okay, there we go. Verse 34. After this, Moshe rose up from amidst the people, and he prayed to Yahweh and said, O Yah, Elohim of the whole earth, save now your people whom you didst bring forth from Mitzrayim, and let not the Mitzrayim boast that power and might are theirs. So Yahweh said to Moshe, and you can reference Exodus 14, verse 16, why do you cry unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they shall proceed. And do you stretch out your rod upon the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall pass through it. That's the miracle that Yahweh did when he parted the Sea of Reeds, and he went through on dry land. Verse 37, and Moshe did so, and he lifted up his rod upon the sea and divided it. Verse 38, and the waters of the sea were divided into 12 parts, and the children of Israel passed through on foot with shoes, as a man would pass through a prepared road. Verse 39, and Yahweh manifested to the children of Israel his wonders in Mitzrayim and in the sea by the hand of Moshe and Aharon. He had that special rod, remember? Verse 40, and when the children of Israel had entered the sea, the Mitzrayim came after them, and the waters of the sea returned upon them, and they all sank in the water. And not one man was left excepting Paro, who gave thanks to Yahweh and believed in him. Therefore, Yahweh did not cause him to perish at that time with the Mitzrayim. He says, oh, I've been wrong. You are the divine being. And he repented. Verse 41, and Yahweh ordered a messenger, that's an angel, okay, to take him from amongst the Mitzrayim, who cast him upon the land of Nineveh, and he reigned over it for a long time. Verse 42, and on that day Yahweh saved Israel from the hand of Mitzrayim, and all the children of Israel saw that the Mitzrayim had perished, and they beheld the great hand of Yahweh and what he had performed in Mitzrayim and in the sea. Verse 43, then sang Moshe and the children of Israel this song unto Yahweh on the day when Yahweh caused the Mitzrayim to fall before them. Verse 44, song of Moshe, and all Israel sang in concert, saying, I will sing to Yahweh, for he is greatly exalted. The horse and his rider he has cast into the sea. Behold, it is written in the book of the law of Yahweh, that's the Torah. Verse 45, after this, the children of Israel proceeded on their journey, and encamped in Marah, and Yahweh gave to the children of Israel statutes and judgments in that place in Marah. And Yahweh commanded the children of Israel to walk in all his ways and to serve him. Verse 46, and they journeyed from Marah and came to Elim. And in Elim were 12 springs of water, and 70 date trees, and the children encamped there by the waters. Verse 47, and they journeyed from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from Mitzrayim. Verse 48, you can reference Exodus 16, verse 4. At that time, Yahweh gave the manna, they made it manna, but it's man, M-A-N, to the children of Israel to eat, and Yahweh caused food to rain from the sky for the children of Israel day by day. Verse 49, and the children of Israel ate the man for 40 years, all the days that they were in the wilderness, until they came to the land of Canaan to possess it. Verse 50, and they proceeded from the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Alush. 51, and they proceeded from Alush and encamped in Rephidim. Verse 52, reference Exodus 17, verse 8. And when the children of Israel were in Rephidim, Amalek, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, the brother of Zepho, came to fight with Israel. Verse 53, And he brought with him 801,000 men, magicians and conjurers. And he prepared for battle with Israel and Rephidim. Verse 54. And they carried on a great and severe battle against Israel, and Yahweh delivered Amalek and his people into the hand of Moshe and the children of Israel, and into the hand of Yahshua, the son of Nun, the Ephratite. That's a district, okay, Ephratah, the servant of Moshe. Verse 55. And the children of Israel smote Amalek and his people at the edge of the sword, but the battle was very sore upon the children of Israel. Verse 56. And Yahweh said to Moshe, write this thing as a memorial for you in a book, and place it in the hands of Yahshua, the son of Nun, your servant, and you shall command the children of Israel, saying, when you shall come to the land of Canaan, you shall utterly efface the remembrance from Amalek from under the sky. In other words, wipe them out. Verse 57. And Moshe did so, and he took the book and wrote upon it these words, saying, verse 58, remember what Amalek has done to you in the road when you went forth from Mitzrayim. 59, who met you in the road and smote your rear, even those that were feeble behind you when you were faint and weary. Verse 60, therefore it shall be, when Yahweh your Elohim shall have given thee rest from all your enemies round about, in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you for an inheritance, to possess it, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the sky, and you shall not forget it. Verse 61. And the king who shall have pity on Amalek, or upon his memory, or upon his seed, behold, I will require it of him, and I will cut him off from amongst his people. Verse 62. And Moshe wrote all these things in a book, and he enjoined the children of Israel respecting all these matters. In other words, you commanded them. Well, I'm just about out of time here. We will begin on Friday in chapter 82. These were two long chapters today. So, thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.